European Central Bank has entered new territory by moving to link its target instant payment system, TIPS, with India's UPI network, marking the first time the EU's instant payments infrastructure has been directly connected with a BRICS nation. EU and India are quietly rewiring global money flows, creating the first ever rupee-euro instant payment corridor that bypasses SWIFT and the US dollar entirely. It contributes to the emerging reality that global payment architecture is moving from one dominant system toward a multipolar collection of interconnected sovereign rails.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Goldfix Market Rundown. It's 7:49 in the a.m. Our top story today is the breaking development we've been covering on the EU and India, where they bypass the U.S.-anchored SWIFT system. Europe and India are building the first direct rupee-euro instant payment rail, quietly creating a real alternative to SWIFT and beginning to reshape the global monetary economy. We are also pleased to announce that two of our posts have been picked up by respected media outlets. First, rising COMEX gold revisions raise questions about data spoofing. That's an unlocked premium post that Jerusalem Post has picked up. It covers the surge in COMEX gold open interest revisions, which have moved beyond normal clearing behavior and point to hidden risks, delayed reporting, and structural stress inside the futures market. Second, our coverage title, Tucker Carlson Says the U.S. Dollar is Doomed, starts a gold company, is now running on Zero Hedge. It looks at Carlson's entry into the precious metals industry through Battalion Metals and what it says about broader settlement and sentiment toward the dollar and post-war financial system. We encourage viewers and subscribers to read both those pieces on their respective platforms. The links will be included in today's mail. Now, before we do our top story and others, let's look at the markets. 10-year yields are unchanged. Offered, the dollar is down 11. S&P 500 is 67.01, down almost 8. NASDAQ is 24.836, down 52. And the VIX is slightly softer. Gold is down $9 at 41.25 after being mixed overnight. But this sell-off started about a half hour ago. So it was stronger. Silver is 51.18, down 14 cents. Again, both of those markets, along with the NASDAQ, had very nice days yesterday, and the S&P 500 as well. Copper is 504, up 5.75 cents. WTI is $58, call it down a buck. Natural gas is 426, down 10. I just want to stop right there. Comparing metals to energy, yesterday everything went up. Gold, silver, stocks, oil. Today, everything is giving back. And you could see at this moment, anyway, gold and silver are a little softer. But WTI gives back almost 2% when it gives back. And WTI lags when the metals rally, when we're in an everything rally. Just something to keep in mind that in rallies, if you're bullish oil, you buy gold. And if you're bearish gold, you sell oil. It just seems that there's just a bid underneath, there's an institutional bid underneath gold, keeping it higher. And there is an institutional offer in oil, keeping it lower. That's the macro trading take. Bitcoin is down 775. Ethereum is down 30. Platinum, palladium are mixed. Palladium down 14. Platinum up 4. Gold, silver hovering. Grains are mildly mixed with corn, the only one of the three that's up. There's the home page. We already saw that. We already talked about that. All right, so the first story we want to talk about is the EU and India bypass SWIFT. The European Central Bank has entered new territory by moving to link its target instant payment system, TIPS, with India's UPI network, marking the first time the EU's instant payments infrastructure has been directly connected with a BRICS nation. That's a big deal. EU and India are quietly rewiring global money flows. I should say the euro area. It's not just the EU. Creating the first ever rupee euro instant payment corridor that bypasses SWIFT and the US dollar entirely. It contributes to the emerging reality that global payment architecture is moving from one dominant system toward a multipolar collection of interconnected sovereign rails. Now, just to put a little bit of like context in this here for you, first of all, this is not them replacing SWIFT. This is them at the retail level saying, you now have a choice. So if you're in Europe and you want to wire money to India, you do business with them. Perhaps you do a little bit of oil business with them. When you go into your business account and you do a wire transfer, you can do the wire, which is a wire. You can do an ACH debit, all those choices that you have. Well, they're adding a new choice on the dropdown, and the new choice will be you can go through whatever they're going to call this, the UPI tips. And you'll choose that, and you'll send your money to your buddy in India for some tea that you bought from him, perhaps. Now, the implications, we do it. That's the news. That's the news. The news is unlocked. You can see that. But the deeper analysis than what we think is going on is part of the premium section of that post. And we'll just share a little bit more with you before you start thinking, oh, it's the end of SWIFT. No, it's not the end of SWIFT today, but it is the end of SWIFT. When you wire money from Europe to India, it goes through SWIFT. So it's kind of like an American protectorate. And there are extra fees in there, and there are extra frictions in there, but you do make up for it largely in liquidity and smoothness assuredness of transaction and no counterparty risk, or at least you think no counterparty risk. But what Europe is doing and India are doing is they're saying, well, you know, we don't need to go through that anymore. Your business, you're trusted enough that we can go bilaterally, okay? So in a sense, they're saying we don't need the SWIFT infrastructure. And there's a lot associated with that on multiple levels. And the first one is the obvious one, right? We're disintermediating the U.S.'s payment rail. Now, again, it's a bilateral thing. So instead of going to the hub of the bicycle wheel that goes all over the world, you're going to a one-to-one. It's a bilateral payment rail is what it is. But it's retail. It's not government, right? So retail is bottom up. Government is top down. In the West, and this is an important cultural change, in the West, things are done top down because of the post-Bretton Woods institutions, IMF, World Bank, whatever. We dictate, they do, and it gets distributed down, and it becomes law, and it becomes passed, and it just, you wake up one day and your bank says, nope, we don't do it that way anymore, and you get told what's happening. But in the BRICS countries, which are coming off of a communist populist mentality, well, they're still populist, right? And so they get a groundswell for their people. So India typically does things bottom up, right? It's a fragmented multicultural society. And so you've got to get people on the same page before you start moving them in one direction. And that makes sense, bottom up. India is doing that a lot. Now, Europe, however, does not do things that way. And usually they wait for the U.S. Usually they say, okay, what's the U.S. going to do? We're going to do that. This is a big departure. This is them saying, we're going to hedge our U.S. risk now. And we want to continue doing trade with India if there's ever a problem. So that's the first thing. This is a cultural change for Europe in that they're setting up alternatives to SWIFT. Second, their target system, TIPS, and this is another cultural change. Europe has used this platform, which everyone has. Everyone has their own sovereign platform and it connects to SWIFT. So it's kind of like an on-ramp, right? Well, what Europe has been using their TIPS platform, having studied a little bit of it yesterday and the day before and a little bit before then, but what they've been using this TIPS platform for is to pull the external parts of Europe into Europe to keep the euro together. You want to be part of the euro? You're thinking about it, euro land. Okay, so we'll put you on our system. And so everyone gets on the euro system and then it will go to SWIFT. This is the first time that Europe, it, from what I've studied, is actually going outside of Europe with it. Not only are they going outside of Europe with it, they're going outside of Europe with it directly, which they don't do, and they're going outside of Europe directly to a BRICS country, which they've never done. So that's the second, I think, cultural zeitgeist change. And the third thing, of course, is over time, market structure is being changed. And I'm a big market structure person. If you're changing the market structure and it sticks, well, a generation from now, people will be using that, especially as trade deepens between the two nations. I think it's fascinating. Nobody gives a shit about it except for a couple Indian pals. I think they're Indian. Maybe they're Pakistani. Who knows? I don't know. But they're on X, and one of them alerted me to it. I can't pronounce his name. I think it's Sanket. So I did the research. And you know what? It's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. All right. So moving on. That story, by the way, let's go back to that. That story is in Breaking EU and India Bypass SWIFT. The news is there. The analysis is locked beneath that. Other news and analysis yesterday post that we did. Slide. Something on COMEX is really rotten. That is the basis for the post on JPost. Then the Sunday video, which is 2 hours long, was a founders video, founders discussion on this. I did a presentation, but the presentation was broken up with questions. So there are a lot of topics in there. If you search by keyword, you'll find what you want. It was a very rewarding conversation, I think, for all. I'm speaking for myself for sure, however. Next, Tucker Carlson says U.S. dollar is doomed, starts a gold company. We talked about that. Tucker has entered the precious metals industry, creating a gold, silver, and platinum company as he warns that the U.S. dollar is weakening and that global financial stability is ruining. Well, there you go. Now you have another influencer saying put your money into a gold. Gold IRAs are the thing. And that reminds me, I have to talk to someone about that. Deutsche Bank, sovereigns print fiat to buy gold. Now, that's our assertion based on a breakdown of a Deutsche Bank report that we read and shared with Premium. Goldfix PM recap. That was the market recap yesterday. And this morning, we sent out Founders AM, which had some pretty interesting things in it related to why stock rallied yesterday and related to some other good stuff. That's all we'll say for now. In case you missed it, there's yesterday's posts. There's the chat. Thank you for participating. I have some good technical stuff to throw in there for you guys today. I have some really good technical charts from a respected technician and some other goodies to throw in there today. Data on deck. What's today? Tuesday? It feels like it's Friday today. Today's PPI. I don't know. I mean, just speaking as a trader, I don't know that it matters that much today. But I don't think anything matters right now except for this change in perception that we went from, oh, we're cutting to, oh, we're not cutting to, oh, we're cutting again. And I think the September jobs number is what the market was worried about, barring a big number today. So that's it. I do want to touch on the charts today. So let's do that. I have a couple notes here. Let's start with gold. All right, gold, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to go through charts in detail. 4160 is the edge of the range. It's also an area where the wedge breaks. So whether you're looking at gold as a wedge, all right, fine, I'll put it up there. You guys talk me into it. So there is a structure that's easy to identify and people are talking about it, and it's a valid structure, and that would be the wedge. Whoops, little technical difficulty there. Internet connections. Oh, let's come back. All right, we'll go with this. That's the silver chart. The gold chart looks like this. Anyway, while we're waiting for that to come up, I guess I need a new computer or a better computer. The silver and gold charts have wedges, right? And the markets are inside that wedge. Now, the gold chart has a wedge that people see and identify, but I look primarily at the levels above it. So you may or may not remember that I was looking at levels in this area here, 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 and here. We got above that, we went back below it. However, most people are looking at this as a wedge, and I have said many times before, if you're trading gold, you're trading wedges. So there will be people who look at this from a wedge point of view, and I don't blame them. It's easy to see. I'm not a wedge person because I have lost so much money trading wedges because of they're easy to see, and then you get a false breakout, and then you lose money, and then the market goes. But anyway, there's your wedge line, right? I'm not trading the wedge. I think that the market has to get above 41.60. That's the edge of the trading range that I've been talking about. The connection is a little bit better now. That's the edge of the trading range. So when you look at it from that point of view, above 41.60, we get back above that area that I was worried about. Not worried about, but that was where the selling was. And I think at that point, when it gets above my white line there again, instead of this being a range, it has a chance of becoming an upswing, right? This structure is false. This structure takes over and we go up. And that's the way it is. Silver, I want to talk about silver as well from a Bollinger Band perspective. Pull a little homage to Michael Oliver. Where is it? There's the weekly. Silver weekly with my lines. You can ignore the lines right now. Let's see if I can hide those efficiently. All right, silver weekly. Michael has been talking about momentum. This was a dip in momentum. This was... Momentum is fine. I confirm that by saying we're back on the yellow line. The yellow line is volatility continues to expand. And for volatility to expand, momentum must remain stable. And we're back on that. So I would say this to you based on a cursory assessment. I would say on a weekly basis, you don't want to be short silver if it settles above 51.49. Okay, so today's what, Tuesday? So if silver's above 51.49 on Friday, you don't want to be short it. That means you don't want to be short it. You may want to be long it. I already am. The final chart that I want to show you is a discovery, for me, a discovery about 2 weeks ago, but it came up in someone else's chart package today. And so I want to bring it up. Bitcoin divided by gold. And again, it's easy to see, but there's a head and shoulders there, right? So if you believe that Bitcoin is in competition with gold as a store of value, then you look at this chart and you say, well, if this head and shoulders breaks, or maybe it has broken, depending on how you look at it, well, then guess what? The market does not think that it's a replacement for gold or a substitute for gold as a store of value. Now, I'm not here to debate that with you right now. I am here to say that that is a shitty looking head and shoulders. And I would be shocked if it broke it meaningfully, but you never know. Another comment about Bitcoin. Hartnett has been talking about Bitcoin in the last two things that we put up and something we saw in Zero Hedge. He's been saying that Bitcoin has been a leading indicator of the liquidity drying up. And because of that, it sold off. But it stayed sold off is what I noted. And he says when the Fed cuts, if the Fed's going to cut in a big way, Bitcoin would be the canary in the coal mine turning around. Now, there's pushback on that concept out there, and I understand that, and I think they might be right. And that is, if there is a problem beyond this cyclical thing that Hartnett is talking about, well, then when the Fed cuts and Bitcoin doesn't rally, you better start looking at the bigger picture of, is this market really worried about quantum computing? You know, is this market really looking at Bitcoin as a false prophet? Anyway, I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for this morning's update on another exciting day in the gold and silver markets. Hopefully you enjoyed that one at home, and sure appreciate you being here as we watch to see if Donald Trump's plan to give everybody $2,000 and pay off the national debt is successful. Interesting proposal that not sure I'm seeing that one just yet, although fortunately in terms of things that are easier to see is the progress from one of our proud sponsors, Dolly Varden Silver, that had another great set of drill results back on November 10th, so just a week ago, including 26.74 grams per ton gold over 14.76 meters. And I did catch up with Sean Kunkin, who is the CEO of Dolly Varden, and let's take a quick listen to what he had to say about the latest drill results.
I've been running Dolly Varden since we met, and we made a very significant discovery that we had out today. You know, in addition to having a lot of silver on the property, we just had one of the best gold hits that is not factored into our current mineral resource estimate. So we just put out a pretty significant number, 26 grams of gold over 14 meters, which is, you know, this is a world-class hit. And this, again, not within our existing resource. So I like to get into the solution for people.
Well, thank you, Sean, and thank you to Dolly, and thank you for everyone watching at home. Do hope you're doing well out there and having a great morning. And in case you'd like to hear a little bit more about the drill results from the geological side, well, just take a look at this video coming your way now.